Welcome to Field to Fan, a podcast from DeltaTray where we discuss the intersection of media and technology in sport and entertainment. I'm Jason Bradwell. Hello and welcome again to Field to Fan, where we seek to uncover the strategies and technologies behind some of the biggest operators in sport, TV and film. My name's Jason. I'm a Senior Product Marketing Director here at DeltaTray, the global leader in fan-first digital experiences. You know, establishing a strong fan-first digital strategy is now key to every sports organization in the world if they are to meet the expectations of the 21st century fan. Building a bespoke fan experience is a must and often the result of a long-term strategic approach that builds on the foundations of a strong brand vision. And that's what we're going to be discussing on today's episode. I'm joined by Mota, who is head of digital at FIVB, and Pete, a VP here at DeltaTray. And we have a really interesting chat around FIVB's, the Volleyball Federation's digital transformation journey and what their forward-looking plans are for the next two or so years. So it's a really interesting episode. We hope you enjoy it. Let's go. On today's episode of Field to Fan, we're joined by Mota, head of digital at FIVB, and Pete, VP at DeltaTray. How are you both doing, gentlemen?
Great. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Mota, coming to you first. Tell us a little bit about your story. How did you end up in your current position as head of digital at FIVB?
So basically, my story is a little bit unconventional because you're talking to a basketball player, a former basketball player that now is leading the digital department of the International Volleyball Federation. My background, I did all my studies in Canada, then decided to move to Switzerland to work in sports. And from then on, I had a few experiences in digital at FIBA, mostly in the International Basketball Federation. And then a year and a half ago, I took on the role of the head of digital here at the FIVB, mostly working on product digital products development and content management of the federation.
That's great. And Pete, coming to you, you've obviously been at DeltaTray for a while. In 30 seconds, just tell us a little bit about your role at the company.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been at DeltaTray for nearly a decade, actually. But my role really is about working with our clients and identifying opportunities where they can focus on growing their brand and enhancing fan experience. So just very passionate about sport and delivering great experiences to the fans.
So gentlemen, obviously this has been a year unlike any other, with the pandemic shutting down sports production and consumption across the world. Mota, coming to you, how have the consumption habits of volleyball fans changed in light of COVID? Have you noticed any distinguishable difference now as sport is starting to return?
So what we've noticed is after this period of the past 6 months, well, the period of the past 6 months made us focus more on archived content and non-live content. And I think the consumption habits of the fans followed the same wave, which means that they were noticing that more and more fans are actually curious about what's happening with the additional content that we have, not necessarily the live. There's a really foreseen shift between live content and post-match content. So basically, because fans now know that, you know, you can watch the highlight or you can watch this documentary or original content after the match at any point in time, you don't need to tune in live to watch it. We're seeing that there's a big shift in this in our consumption, where the highlights and the all around content around the matches is becoming more and more important and more engaging for the fans. And in addition to that, one of the biggest trends right now is user generated content. It's becoming something that we're really focusing on to highlight those fans and to celebrate those fans around the world of volleyball. And it's creating a lot of engagement for us on all our channels.
Pete, coming to you, obviously what we've seen at DeltaTray is video consumption skyrocketing during lockdown, which seems a little bit ironic considering that live content only started to return a few months ago. From your point of view and that of DeltaTray, how can sports entities balance that lack of live events with original content or the exploitation of unused video archives?
Yeah, I think firstly, it was really interesting, certainly over that early part of lockdown in the year, to see, you know, there's a real vacuum that was created by the lack of, you know, live content. And what we did see in certain scenarios where organizations were maybe fortunate enough to create some form of live content was a real thirst from fans to consume that. And so, you know, anywhere where there was the ability to create some form of exclusivity, whether it was, you know, around esports, whether it was the athletes taking things into their own hands via social and really growing that kind of visibility and presence, we saw, you know, real traction there. But you touched on it there around archive and original content, and I think that's enabled a lot of sports to be able to transcend their audiences or their traditional audiences, let's say. You know, probably a combination of coincidence and good fortune, but you know, The Last Dance, when it was released, I think it was going to do incredibly well anyway because the subject matter and the quality was so good, but the timing really kind of drove audiences, I think, even in greater numbers.
They changed the release date, right? So they were supposed to release it in October and they decided to release it in April. And I think that's also maximized the viewership for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it just shows how, you know, that period of time really kind of forced people to rethink and pivot some of their kind of earlier plans for the year. But yeah, I think the video archive space is definitely an area, and I think Motti sort of touched on it as well there, right? Just trying to create content that the fans want to see, and being able to kind of remind the fans of what perhaps was missing, but kind of what's going to be coming back.
It's all incredibly relevant because particularly right now, attention is at a premium. You know, sports leagues are competing with everything from Netflix to TikTok for the eyeballs of their fans, right? So Mota, coming to you again, what challenge is FIVB facing in achieving and maintaining its global audience in this regard? I mean, how are you guys overcoming some of these challenges in regards to the attention economy?
We're basically trying to, right now our content strategy has changed from being really event focused to becoming almost event agnostic. To create 365 days a year worth of content. So regardless if we have an event or not, we need to, you know, capture the audience and how we capture the attention of the fan because of this, you know, even since April, because of this shift of vacuum that Pete mentioned, is that there's also so much content that has been published and so many archive content that has been published. Is how we capture it is we look at every piece of content and we try to engage the fan by adding, you know, certain elements to it that can capture the attention of the fan and making it relevant to the fan. But at the same time, we have been as well with the collection of data. We have been trying to do some real-time targeting on our social channels and some personalization on certain email marketing campaigns that we have been doing in order to, you know, really cater the content to how the fans wants to consume it and what the fan is interested in. So to give you an example, one of the things that we have been testing recently is in case a fan has been clicking more and more on any of our channels on one specific type of content, then we would try to target him and a lookalike audience like this with a similar type of content to see if the engagement is there. Because right now with this flood of content, you're more and more, if the fans want something that is personalized to them and that is relevant to them. And this is how we capture this global audience, is to go on a granular level in our content plan and not just a one size fit all content strategy.
So I want to dig a little bit more into the data collection and more importantly, you know, using that data in a tangible way to deliver action, as you just described. Before we do that, one of the things that strikes me across FIVB's digital platforms is just how effectively you guys are using your athletes to enhance your storytelling. And it seems to me that this is a very key feature in your content production. For instance, right now I noticed on your website that you're running a kind of team player of the week feature, but this isn't just a standalone blog post. You know, you're building a lot of content around that, you know, YouTube videos, social clips, things like that. And this has kind of led to the huge number of followers that you've collected across all of your social platforms. One of the reasons as to why you've collected such a huge audience, you know, 1.1 million followers on Instagram, 2.4 million followers on Facebook, 920,000 followers on YouTube. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the other ways that you've leveraged your athletes, either during the pandemic or elsewhere, to build such a massive following?
Yeah, so the athletes, at least in our belief in our department, is that we believe that the athlete is the entry point for a fan to engage with the sport and engage with the content, which is basically if someone is doing something incredible, an athlete is doing something incredible on the court, that's what would capture the fan's attention on it and will help them engage with the sport even more and engage with the athlete even more. And what we have been doing with the athlete is celebrate them and looking at the archive content and celebrating these great moments that they have in this on the court and off the court. And during the pandemic, what we also have done is that we tried to build even an ongoing relationship with them to create a content about what they're doing during the pandemic. So we even started a series with a few athletes to tell the fans or to engage with the fans and answer fans' questions about setting or attacking or serving. So, you know, providing this and showcasing that they are great at what they do, but they can also teach you how they can do it. So this is one of the areas that we have been focusing on. But really, our entire content plan right now during the pandemic and even throughout after, like what we call it, the off season, really revolves around the player, because it's our content plan used to be just national team focused. But now we would like to focus on the athlete throughout the entire year, and that is helping us quite a lot in engaging with the fans, because that's what they relate to, and that's who they relate to more specifically.
Pete, coming to you, this must be a trend that DeltaTray is seeing across the wider sports industry. I mean, what's your opinion on how athlete-generated content can represent a new future of content creation in the sports industry?
Yeah, no, look, I think firstly to echo Motta's point, you know, the athletes are ultimately the individuals that the fans can relate to. And in some cases, they're relating to them at a sort of, let's call it a hero status. You know, if you think about the big sports and the big athletes, you know, that's pretty evident with the audiences that they gather. But I think there's also the fact that, you know, athletes are humans, and they have an interest outside of their sport, whether that's fitness, diet, fashion, you know, whatever topic it may be, they have the ability to transcend their sport just through their interests. And so actually the relationship that the sports, the clubs, the athletes have together allows at least visibility and at least reach to a much wider audience than perhaps, let's say, traditionally sports organizations could have. And I think that's a really interesting area. Like I said a bit earlier, we kind of saw that during the lockdown period early in the year, where you had athletes you know, running live social events, whether, you know, the really kind of spectacular Federer Nadal Instagram live sessions, where you actually really just saw two friends kind of talking, whether it was talking about charity, whether it was talking about their families. You got a real insight into them as individuals that you'd never see on the court. But there were loads of examples of that during that period. And I think we're, you know, when you take the athletes and their relationships with their clubs or their organizations. We've also seen it with clients. You know, if I take someone like Juventus that we work with, you know, I think a great example where they tried to, and they are growing their brand as a sporting entity from not just being a football club, but actually being a brand that reaches out deeper into the community. And again, tries to transcend the sport and the relationship that they have with audiences as well, so that they're engaging, not necessarily always on that kind of primary level that they're known for.
Mota, coming to you again. Obviously, this period of lockdown has, if anyone had any doubts that digital was going to play a key part in reaching audiences around the world, they have been smashed, because it's been the only way that sports have been able to reach fans. From FIVB's point of view, how is the organization working to strengthen its fan-first digital approach as part of its wider long-term brand strategy?
It's definitely skipping me up, this change, but it was a given that the fact that the FIVB had created its own digital department, digital was a focus for them since last year. But the currently what we have been doing is that we've used this let's call it off season to really plan ahead our roadmap for the next 2 to 3 years, and focusing on what do we need to do to engage the fans in a non-traditional way, even on digital, to bring new experiences, to even change the way we're bringing the sports to them, and or bringing volleyball as a match for them. And the questions that we're also trying to answer is that we know that the fans' behavior is going to change next year, even when the events are happening. So we are preparing as well for that. So in a digital first perspective, so to give you an example, we're even looking at our arenas and our events to know how if fans are now requiring that every single arena that they visit will be a cashless arena, or if we are to bring the event live, it's not a matter of just taking the same way that we're producing the content and putting it without fans in the field or in the court, but it's more on repurposing this content and bringing the fans closer to the action because they're watching it from home. So this whole pandemic has accelerated quite a lot of things and quite a lot of decisions for us. But in the meantime, right now we're in a planning phase where we're trying to evaluate all these possible scenarios on how can we bring the fans closer to the game and bring them and engage them in a completely different way through a full digital ecosystem. And this is definitely, I'll always speak about data, but this is always powered by the fact that we are now, you know, engaging with the fans directly and engaging with our fan consumers directly, that we're able to understand how they engage with volleyball, which allows us to even cater these platforms for them on a personal level.
Pete, obviously Delta Trey, in a very similar way to FIVB, is a data-led company and has develop many tools and platforms that can help its customers unlock important audience insights. To what degree is personalization and digital experiences going to be integral to the future of sports consumption?
I think firstly, there's no doubt that personalization is key. I think everybody that I've spoken to recently is either grappling with the concept, doing something with the concept, knows that it's going to have a material impact. But I think, you know, there can also be a bit of a slippery slope, right, in terms of finding the middle ground between utopia, let's call it, from a personalization perspective, and doing nothing at all. And I think, Motti, you make a very good point, right, which is at a digital level, it's really about engaging with the fan. And to that extent, knowing who that fan is and how best to then engage with that fan once you start to know who they are. And obviously, that journey of building that direct to fan relationship is exactly that. It's a journey. So you're going to start with very little, and it's going to grow over time. And you know, one of the things we've been working on as an organization is, you know, we have a huge experience in terms of delivering both global events, but to local audiences. And so we look at fans from a persona's perspective, which allows us to at least start that journey quite early on and effectively use data, but in a useful manner. So, you know, if you're going to have insights into audiences, they need to be meaningful and they need to lead to actionable changes that are actually going to drive, again, that kind of engagement, whether that's understanding fans' behaviors, their attitudes, the markets that they're living in. And that's where our focus is really as an organization. You know, we have technology and tools that we build and that we use. You know, we launched our product M Tribes earlier in the year, which does exactly that. But also looking at how we can work with our clients and help them in terms of how they adapt their ecosystems as well.
Modo, you mentioned a moment ago that you've used this period of lockdown to, or this off season as you called it, to really think and formulate your 2-year digital roadmap. And I'm curious to know from your point of view and that of the FIVB, the balance in having a team internally in-house that can help deliver that digital roadmap versus working with tech partners, external tech partners, who can also help bring it to fruition. I mean, from your point of view, you know, what is the role of a reliable tech partner, and you know, what role can they play in helping established sport organizations like the FIVB to elevate their profile?
Definitely. I mean, we work with a lot of tech partners here at the FIVB already, but the key aspect of it is the expertise that you're bringing to the table. Our team here is more of a, how we structured it is a more of a core unit that orchestrates everything that we're doing, from content to product development to technology and backend development. But at the end, you need as well the experts and the actual technologies that will allow you to complete this orchestra, meaning that, you know, it's we as a unit, if we're just here at the FIVB, we're just 7 people in our department, and we are to produce 365 days of content and produce all these beautiful digital experiences. We need the right tools and the right partners to come and support us and come in with their expertise, because at some point there's certain capacity of our people and our department to dig into the details of every single piece. And that's where the experts can come in to tell you about personalization, like Pete's mentioned, or that can tell us about how can we better use our data, or what is the latest trend in the video production and how we can improve our video output and content production. So I think it's more
a lot of night shifts otherwise, right?
Exactly. otherwise we're working just 24 hours, which is not going to be possible. But it's about having this complementary relationship with your partners, that they can bring their expertise to the table, and our team can bring the reality to the table for them to complement and achieve the ultimate vision of, you know, bringing the fans closer to the sport.
Pete, anything you'd add to that?
Well, I mean, I think I think you touched on it, Jason, in the question, and Motta as well, in that it's about being a partner, and I think that's, at least within Deltatray, we take that point quite strongly, in that, you know, you've got to understand your client's business. You know, there's a role to play, and you know, it's not necessarily for us as Deltatray necessarily to be making those decisions, right? That's for our client to do. But it is about being conscious in terms of supporting, guiding, recommending, bringing that breadth of experience that we have to allow our clients to make the best decisions and to support them to, you know, focus on the areas where they bring the real value. So I think it's very much a joined up way of working, but it's about everybody recognizing that they have certain roles to play and that they focus on those areas.
Gentlemen, before we wrap up, and I'm a little bit hesitant to ask this question because we just don't know what the next 12 months are going to look like, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I'm going to put you on the spot. Mada, what are you most excited about for FIVB over the next 12 months?
I think we are excited about, you know, the plans that we have in related to digital because of this shift in everything that we know now is moving towards becoming digital first. I'm excited about how the new experiences that we're going to build the new ecosystem that we're going to be building and all of these new features and that we were not able to do beforehand because the season would take so much of our time. But now we have the time to actually, you know, embellish everything that we have and plan ahead, that it allowed us to, you know, prepare a lot of exciting stuff for the fans. So even when we go back to play, there's going to be a lot newer, engaging products that we're going to all be offering and engaging new content that we have. So it's more that the excitement is that, you know, I call this period the off season, and one of the quotes that I use for our team here is that the champions are made in the off season. So we've used this period really to prepare for next year to come back with a lot more newer stuff, a lot stronger, and a lot better at delivering the best experiences for the fan.
And Pete, close us off in 30 seconds or less. What are you most excited about for 2021?
Well, I love the phrase that the champions are made in the off season. Completely agree with that. I think I'm excited to see the reflection on, I think, how this is going to accelerate audiences' expectations and behaviors with regards to digital. It certainly feels like digital as a platform has taken a real shift and a real step change in terms of how audiences use it and it becoming far more of the norm than before this situation. So I think that's going to be really exciting how we're going to be able to take a big step forward.
Gentlemen, this has been an insightful discussion. I really appreciate your time. Mada, Head of Digital at FIVB, and Pete, VP at DeltaTray, thank you very much for taking part in Field to Fan.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
And that's it for this episode of Field to Fan. A huge thank you again to our guests, Mota and Pete. If you've enjoyed listening, be sure to subscribe, rate, leave a comment. It all makes a huge difference, and I thank you very much in advance for that. If you'd like to learn more about DeltaTray, you can visit our website at www.deltatray.com, or you can reach out to us on LinkedIn or Twitter. All credits for the soundtrack go to Rex Banner, and this episode, as always, was produced by Marco Lorenzi. See you next time.